website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. And before I get into the meat of the subject today and the issues that we're going to talk about, let me extend to you a warm invitation to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. Sunday school, that's the Bible study hour at 9:30, and worship service Sunday morning at 10:30. We'd be delighted to have you join us this Sunday. We're continuing our verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study in the book of the Revelation. We'll be in Revelation, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 12, I believe it is, maybe 1 through 13. I'm not looking at it at the present time, but we'll be studying in Revelation. If you're in a church where you're unhappy because you're not being fed the Word of God, if you're in a church where you have the pop-up music, the rock and roll music, and a sermonette for Christianettes, and you're looking to be fed the meat of the Word of God, we'd love to have you join us. If you would like to just drop in, visit with us, see what is offered at First Conservative Baptist Church, we'd love to have you. 1221 Old San Augustine Road, 9:30 a.m. for the Bible study hour, and 10:30 a.m. for the morning worship. We're looking forward to having you with us this Sunday or any Sunday that you find the opportunity to join with us. Looking forward to that. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, we'll be talking about, have we surrendered to the enemy? Have we? I'm speaking primarily to Christians today, but we'll be talking in general about Christians, conservatives, and patriots. Have we surrendered to the enemy? Ladies and gentlemen, all of us have witnessed the cultural change, the ethical decline, and the spiritual surrender in America. It's not at all unusual to have a conservative in a conversation with someone and immediately find an unwillingness to take a stand on faith and freedom. It's not an unusual thing to find Christians today, conservatives today, embarrassed or unwilling to take a stand on the truth of the Word of God. Is it possible that we've surrendered, that we wave the white flag of surrender to the enemy in America? That's the subject today. That's the issue. We're going to talk about what is taking place in the nation today. Then we're going to make a transition and look at the word apostasy. What is apostasy? What does it mean to fall away? Are we witnessing a falling away, an apostasy of the church today? What does that mean? Can it be changed? Can the trajectory, the direction we're going in, be reversed? What is the possibility that there's no return from the apostasy, the falling away that we find ourselves in today as Christians, as churches? We'll talk about that. We invite you to join in the dialogue and the discussion. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion today. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. And as we face the issues, may I remind you once again, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The scripture says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. May I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that we are in the very apex of that phenomena. You try to stand for truth, whether it be theological, doctrinal, biblical, societal, civil government, or otherwise. And if you stand for truth, there'll be the challenge. If you stand for truth based on facts that you have, there'll be those that will say, well, I listen to the news all the time, and I don't know where you get that stuff. I've never heard that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have people in society today that they believe the only source of news is the Communist Network News. That's all you're watching. That's all you're listening to. You'll never know the truth of the news in the world today. You'll never know what is really taking place in the world today. We need to understand that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we hold the truth. We're the bastion of truth through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We have the responsibility of maintaining, communicating, and spreading the truth. There's the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. DeMint said this in part, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume what we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, over half of the younger generation, over half of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, in fact, the number in the latest survey, 55% of the millennials say, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. You can try to bifurcate it if you like. You can try to modify it if you like. You can try to mollify it in some fashion if you like, but it doesn't change what is true. We see that happening on the political scene today. We watch that taking place in relationship to truth standing and prevailing. Joe Biden said that he had never talked with his son, Hunter Biden, about his business dealings. Yet we find that not only did he talk about it, he was heavily invested in it, heavily involved in it. And he was the big guy that would always get the 10%, according to the email, text, message, communication chain. We're talking about today, have we surrendered to the enemy? We need to understand the only way that we can survive as a nation, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, is to stand for truth, embrace the truth, grip the truth. In fact, it goes back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day, ladies and gentlemen, on this broadcast. As we face the issues, we must stand for truth, believe the truth, live the truth, and be willing to defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 1192 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a wonderful benchmark, an identifier, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. Wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for a Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for a Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for a Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for a Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about today an issue that I believe is pertinent, an issue that I believe makes the difference in the future of America. The issue that we're speaking of today, I believe, is so grave, so serious, so important, so weighty, that lest we grasp what is being said, lest we become heavily involved as salt and light, as the Bible declares that we are to be, according to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, lest we do that, we will be inundated by the world. We will go by the wayside as a nation. We will be assumed by other nations. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time as Christians and conservatives and patriots that we wake up, stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. It's not unusual at all to find Christians and conservatives and patriots literally without a willingness, unwilling to take a strong stand. So many times there's the feeling that if I take a strong stand, somebody might dislike me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you take a strong stand or if you don't take a strong stand, there's going to be someone that doesn't like what you say, where you stand, and what you do. It's an impossibility to try to appease the world and please God through His Word. It's an impossibility to do so. And may I say to you, the Scripture is very, very clear in Proverbs 29 and verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs 14:34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth, builds up, lifts up, glorifies a nation. But sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. And that's where we are today. And I believe it's a timely issue that we talk about today. Have we surrendered to the enemy? And I'm talking about, have we, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, have we waved the white flag of surrender? What should conservatives do? I'm going to go through in the elongation of a secondary monologue. I want to go through just a litany of things that we see taking place. But with each of these highlighted things, issues that we see taking place in America, my resounding question is, what should Christians do? What should patriots do? What should conservatives do when our government surrenders to China, when our government surrenders to Russia, North Korea, and Iran? This is what is taking place today as a result of open borders. How should we respond today? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, how should we respond today as Christians, as conservatives? How should we respond to what we see taking place with our nation being inundated? I've said for the past 3 years, the Biden administration's let in about 7 to 8 million illegal aliens. It is literally changing the demographics of America. And I just heard one commentator last evening suggest that it could be between 12 and 13 million, not 7 to 8 million. The real number, he said, was between 12 and 13 million illegals just in the past 3 years under the Biden administration. How should we then live? How should we respond? As Christians, as conservatives, should we simply sit in silence? Should we simply say, well, that's not really happening? You can turn your television dial to NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, the Communist Network News, CNN, and you will rarely, if ever, hear any question in relationship to the illegal opening of our borders. If nothing else, the Biden administration's committed treason by not protecting our borders. When you study the Constitution, you realize, ladies and gentlemen, early on, that the president's responsibility, more than anything else, is to defend our borders, to protect our sovereignty. And Joe Biden has not done that. Did you wonder when the China spy balloon was flying across America from the West Coast to the East Coast, why it was not intercepted? Simply because Joe Biden is beholden to China. China holds the cards. China knows the secrets. China knows what Biden has done through Hunter Biden and the entire Biden family cabal. They have been on the take selling America with Russia, with China, with Iran, and nations around the globe, nations that hate us. So the question is, getting back to the point at hand, what should we do as Christians and conservatives? How should we respond? What should Christians and conservatives and patriots do when our government continues to force the LGBTQ sodomite agenda? How should we respond? I'm asking these questions because therein lies the issue where we have been silent too long. I believe Christians and conservatives have been silent much too long. I believe there's been a mindset of the churches today and multitudes of pastors today that churches and Christians and pastors are not supposed to get into, not even supposed to discuss or talk about what is called governmental issues. Ladies and gentlemen, the sodomite agenda is not a governmental issue. Ladies and gentlemen, the mutilation of boys and girls and trying to change their gender is not a political issue. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes down to pushing the transgenderism, the transgender surgery, when it comes down to pushing murder by way of abortion, when it comes down to pushing the mindset of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, those are moral, ethical, biblical issues. And yes, we're finding the government involved in those issues, pushing those moral, ethical issues, destroying faith, family, and our freedom in America. How many pastors do you hear in the pulpit challenging that? How many Christian leaders do we hear standing on a national, with a national forum, challenging what is taking place? And ladies and gentlemen, from the book of Genesis through the book of the Revelation, God created the home, God created government, and God created the church, and in that order. And anything that's dealing with any of those three issues becomes a biblical issue. This is the reason of this broadcast each and every day. We deal with it from a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? How should we view what is taking place? We're talking about today, how should we view what is happening? We're talking about it under the theme and the subject of, have we surrendered to the enemy? That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. How should we respond as Christians? What should we do? How should we make our voices heard? Love to hear from you. Do you believe we need to sit in silence? Do you believe we need to make telephone calls to our elected leaders? Do you believe that pastors need to grow a spiritual spine, a biblical backbone, and stand and address these issues from the pulpit? Do you believe the devil's lie that says that Christians and churches ought to just simply stay in their lane, that Christians and churches ought to just talk about Jesus and nothing more and nothing less, that Christians and churches ought not to violate the separation of church and state by talking about these issues? If you believe that, love to have you to educate me, to show me where that's found and how that is to be discerned. Love to hear from you if you believe that is the case. Why do you believe that we should be silent? What's the mode, what mode should we take as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots? What should Christians and conservatives do when our schools are rapidly becoming indoctrination centers, brainwashing institutions, destroying the morals and the ethics and the values of our students? What should we do? How should we respond? I'm asking the questions. Love to hear your answers. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. How should we respond as conservatives and Christians when the Department of Justice, under the leadership of Merrick Garland, and if you watched any of his interview by the House committee, you early determined that Merrick Garland is a liar. He is deceitful. He is fraudulent. He's spineless. He has no intent on doing what is right. There's a dual justice system emanating out of the Department of Justice. But what do you do when the Department of Justice prepares a 32-page document, sends it to the other liar-in-chief, the FBI, to inculcate it, that if any parent stands before the school board and challenges the school board for teaching pornography in the classroom under the guise of sex education, under the guise of doing what the government claims they've got to do with teaching that subject, and a parent is called a domestic terrorist, do we remain silent? How should we respond? Listen, I'm asking these questions based on the broad, and may I say again, broad research that I've been able to do. And for the broad research, I find that there's very little being said from the churches, if anything, very little being done through the churches, through the pulpits, through the denominations. In fact, the overwhelming majority of our denominations today have embraced in one form, fashion, or another, the sodomite agenda. They've embraced the CRT, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you go back and study the critical race theory, as it's called. It is one of the major, may I say again, major tools of the Marxist agenda, of the Marxist, a tool out of the Marxist toolbox to destroy a nation by dividing ethnically. That's what we see happening. So how should Christians and conservatives respond when we see that taking place today, when our schools are simply an indoctrination and brainwashing, when parents are called domestic terrorists, if you challenge what the school's doing in destroying the minds, the hearts, the morals, the ethics, and the values of our sons and daughters and grandkids in the public school system? By the way, I just read an article recently that said across the nation, there's a mega major move away from the public schools. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd love to see enough parents pull out of the public schools to see the public school system implode. The U.S. Department of Education needs to be shut down. Most are not aware of the fact, in May of 2017, Donald Trump gave the instructions to DeVos, the head of the U.S. Department of Education, to start dismantling it and shutting it down. She never instituted his directions. The U.S. Department of Education is a tool that's being used by Satan to destroy the minds, the hearts, and the lives of our sons and daughters and grandkids in the public school system today. How should Christians respond? What should conservatives do? Should we continue to send our students to public schools? Should we simply say, well, when I went to public school, it was a good system. When I went to public school, I learned my 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the case today. We're not training kids academically. In fact, most of the public schools in America today, graduating students from the 12th grade, they do not have a 4th and 5th grade education mathematically or in English. But yeah, we're graduating them. We're behind most other nations academically because we've decided, we, the institution called public educational system, decided that the educational system is to be an incubator for changing the morals, the ethics, and the values. So with all that said, what should we do? As Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? What should be the modus operandi used by the Christian, the conservatives, the patriots, the pastors? What should we do when all truth is considered and treated as disinformation by our federal government? The Department of Homeland Security silently, quietly, have already reinstituted what they said they were going to do over a year ago in setting up the misinformation and disinformation board. You realize the reason? Because the closer we get to the 2024 election, the more you say, the more I say, by way of cell telephone, by text messages, by email, by Instagram, by Facebook, and all other means of social media, it will be intercepted as being disinformation and misinformation. We're on the fast track for another shutdown in America so that the Biden administration, the socialist Marxist media, can force the citizens to mask up, to lock down, and do voting by mail-in ballot so that the election can be stolen once again, just as it was in 2020, just as it was in 2022. Unless God intervenes, we'll see that happen again in 2024. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if I can be very forthright, I believe that the balance of authority, the balance of this whole system called the agenda for the socialist Marxist Democrats versus the conservatives, I believe all of it lies in the hands of the Christian, the conservative, the patriot. We've been silent too long. I believe it's time we stand up. We have surrendered the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in my most humble opinion. We're on the fast track today, ladies and gentlemen, because the socialist Marxist governmental officials today, most text messages, most emails, most Facebook material, most Instagram. In fact, you've heard me say before, I probably receive 250 to 300 emails a day. I probably may send out 20, 30, 40 emails a day to those that I have respect for that I feel would like to know some of the information I've received in research. And anywhere from 4 to 6 out of 10 of those emails are blocked each and every day that I send them. It's because today, everything that's said by conservatives and patriots and Christians, I believe, is being absolutely censored. How should Christians, conservatives, and patriots respond? How should we then live? What ought we to do? Ladies and gentlemen, I've set the stage. I've laid the foundation of what we see happening, and I've asked the question over and over and over again. How should we then live? What should we do? How should we respond? We, as believers and conservatives and patriots, must not sit in silence. We must not embrace the Marxist, socialist, communist agenda of the left. All it takes, and I'm paraphrasing, all it takes for bad men to prevail is for good men to sit in silence and do nothing. We're going to continue the thought in just a moment. We're going to have the top of the hour news break in just a moment. Then we're going to continue the thought. And that thought is, have we surrendered to the enemy? We're going to look at the falling away. We're going to look at the closing of churches. We're going to be examining what is taking place in our pulpits today and what Christians are doing and what we ought to do if we want to deliver our nation out of the hands of the enemy. We need to be ready, ladies and gentlemen, to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I believe that it's time that we stop being silent and stand up and face the enemy based on the authority of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. Right after the news break, we'll continue. Have we surrendered to the enemy?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Striving for that coveted breakout moment, seven Republican presidential candidates shared the stage in last night's second debate of the 2024 election cycle. They spent a lot of time sniping at each other when they weren't going after President Biden. There was also some criticism of former President Trump for not showing up for this debate. Instead of debating, Mr. Trump addressed some auto workers in suburban Detroit, the UAW strike, now 2 weeks old. The opening hearing of the Biden impeachment inquiry will get underway shortly on Capitol Hill. Today's hearing being held by the Republican-led House Oversight Committee and several experts scheduled to testify at the hearing. Travis King is back in the U.S., a 23-year-old Army private who was on the verge of being discharged dishonorably, fled from South to North Korea back in July. More details at srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're asking the question today, have we surrendered to the enemy? Have we surrendered to the enemy? We, speaking of the conservatives, Christians, and patriots, have we surrendered to the enemy? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Franklin Graham said, every demon in hell has been turned loose. That was part of his keynote address recently at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Evangelist Franklin Graham warned Christian commentators that the believers, that he believes, there's a coming storm, that we all need to get ready for it. Quote, the world is deteriorating so quickly, it seems that every demon in hell has been turned loose, and we cannot be deceived. We can't be fooled. We need to get ready and be prepared. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's a powerful statement. I think it's a correct statement. Look at another headline. It says, losing faith. Religious identification among Democrats crashes 20 points in just 20 years. And the elongated article goes on to compare Democrats and Republicans with Christian faith, with religious beliefs. The article reads, the percentage of Democrats who identify as religious has dropped more than 20 points in recent years, according to the Gallup poll. The survey found that independents have become slightly less likely to say they're spiritual. For from 37% to 32%, and more likely to say that they're neither religious nor spiritual, dropped from 13% to 21% drop. Overall, 47% of Americans identify as religious, 33% say they are spiritual, but not religious, and only 2% say they're both. Further, the article states, the decline in Americans identifying as religious is consistent with the trends from other Gallup measures of religiosity and religious practices, particularly in the past two decades. However, Gallup has documented, quote, steeper declines in former religious practice and church attendance and church membership than ever before. Gallup poll found in June 2022 found the belief in God has fallen most in the recent years among young adults and the millennial age group. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble as a nation. We're in trouble as a people. And my question continues to be asked, have we surrendered to the enemy? The telephone is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it appears that our churches and Christians and pastors have been simply bowing to evil, bowing to the world and the cultures. We, I believe, have waved the white flag of surrender to the woke culture in which we're living in. Churches are closing every day across America. And I read this article recently, but I believe it's worthy of reading once again. It's an article on Facebook. This article says, my heart is heavy for my church today. Our Sunday night and Wednesday night crowd has gone down so much in the last 6 months to a year. This morning I read an article that a pastor from a different church wrote, so that was so true and real, I would like to share it. If you're a Christian, you should be an active member in a local church. If you're already a member of a local Bible-believing preaching church, please read the upcoming article and examine your heart and mind. Now, here's the article. The article is entitled, Empty Pew. I want you to listen carefully, because this sets the pace for the balance of this broadcast today. This sets the pace for the questions that we're going to ask as we delve into the question of biblical apostasy, the falling away. The falling away from the faith, the falling away from the church, the falling away from the truth of the Word of God. The Empty Pew is the title. Follow in me carefully. It is hard to imagine a time when churches did not have air conditioning, running water, cushioned chairs or pews. A church where there was a bucket of water in the corner with a dipper that everyone shared. The windows would be opened in the heat, and people would crowd together for warmth in the winter. If you had to use the bathroom, you would have to make a long journey to the outhouse. Yet with all these inconveniences, Sundays used to be a time when people gathered at church, the church house, to hear God's word. Many churches didn't have Sunday school or youth programs, and everyone was in the sanctuary to worship, to hear God's word, and to be together. Pews were filled. And I heard a lady this past weekend say she remembered when there was more room in the church, people gathered outside. No more room in the church. The people gathered outside the windows, the open doors to hear the preacher preach the word of God. God was priority. Family was priority. The article states further. People will say it was a simpler time back then. Was it? People worked hard from sun up to sundown. Most families were fortunate to have one car. Most items were handmade. Yet with everything they had to do on and given any day, they made time for God, God's word, and His church. Unfortunately today, it seems that God and church is no longer a priority in most families. The empty pew is becoming more common in our churches throughout the nation. I've heard it said that church needs to change with the times. The church needs to cater to people. The church needs more programs. The church, blah, da, 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 da. It continues. Whatever happened to the thought of the church raising disciples and ministering to the community. Whatever happened to the church being a place where people came to greet one another and to share the word of God and to encourage one another in life, in holiness, in righteousness? Whatever happened to people wanting to serve instead of being served? The empty pew breaks my heart, this writer says. Are people just too busy for God, or do they just not care anymore? Either way, as more and more churches close their doors, people begin to remember when there used to be a place where God's people gathered together. One day, when all the church doors are closed, maybe then, people will once again rediscover their thirst to know God is and to be with one another for worship and prayer on Sundays. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, have we surrendered to the enemy? Have we surrendered to the enemy in allowing our churches to close? Ladies and gentlemen, across America today, churches are closing because of a lack of attendance. George Barner, you've heard me say this before, George Barner and his research about a year ago said that over the next 18 months, one out of five churches, got 300,000 plus churches in America, one out of five churches would close. That's about 60,000 churches to close. And I believe we're on the fast track. I'm looking at a headline, the faithful sees both crisis and opportunity as churches close across the country. When Pastor Douglas Thibault steps to the pulpit at a United Methodist Church this Sunday, he will likely be the last one for the services in a church of 112-year history. And he goes on to talk about what has taken place. Said at one time, back in the 60s and the 70s, the pews were filled. 250 people could fill the church on Sunday. Starting with 2009, it started to decline. We're a small church now, he acknowledged. We're never going to have hundreds of people in attendance again. Last fall, the church office overseeing the congregation said that it had fallen behind in the money it pays the denomination for support. It determined that the church was no longer a vital congregation and would have to close. Here's the key article, key portion of the article. The situation is hardly unique, nor is it confined to the United Methodist Church, a denomination that has undergone a recent split over the issue of the LGBTQ inclusiveness. Just 16% of Americans say religion is the most important thing in their life. According to a new report released this week by the Public Religion Research Institute, a 2020 survey found that the average congregation size across Christian denomination is less than half of what it was in 2000, down 65%. It also found that on the average, a third of the churchgoers are 65 years old or older, twice the age group representation in the general population. These numbers held true for Protestants, evangelicals, and Catholics alike. Only congregation of other faiths, including Islam, Baha'i, and Judaism, are seeing increases, according to the survey. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, what the article proves to us in the article statement is that the evangelical churches, i.e., what's supposed to be the Bible-believing churches, are closing, and we're watching the Christian faith diminishing, and we're watching the Baha'i faith, we're watching the Islamic religion and Jewish religion increasing in numbers while watching the evangelicals, the Christians, closing the church doors. I'm looking at another large article, losing their religion, while the U.S. churches are on the decline. As the U.S. adjusts to the increasingly non-religious population, thousands upon thousands of churches are closing each year. Probably, this writer says, accelerated by COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, since the COVID mandate to lock the churches down, since the COVID decision was made by the Biden administration that churches were non-essential, we have found the escalation, the major, major escalation of the apostasy taking place in our churches today. Multitudes refuse to go to church today. Multitudes find it something that they're just not interested in. This article states, churches are closing rapidly in rapid major numbers in the U.S., according to the researchers. Congregations dwindle across the country, and the younger generations of America have abandoned Christianity altogether. Even as faith continues to dominate American politics, the churches are closing. As the U.S. adjusts to an increasingly non-religious population, thousands of churches are closing every year, a figure that experts believe may have accelerated through the COVID pandemic. The article further states, about 4,500 Protestant churches closed in 2019 alone, the last year that the data was available. It was the first time the number of churches in the U.S. hasn't grown since the evangelical firm started studying the topic. With the pandemic speeding up a broader trend of Americans turning away from Christianity, researchers say the closures will only be accelerated in the future. The closures, even for a temporary period of time, impacted a lot of churches. People breaking the habit of attending church. A lot of churches had to work hard to get people back to attendance at all. In the last 3 years, all signs are pointing to a continued pace of closures, probably similar to 2019 and even higher. It is a rapid rise in the American church closures that we're witnessing. Ladies and gentlemen, have we surrendered to the enemy? Have Christians and conservatives and patriots surrendered to the enemy? I believe we're watching that take place today. I believe the white flag of surrender has been waved. Churches are closing across America. Pastors are quitting. In fact, over 1,500 preachers are leaving the ministry every month in America. That's a staggering number. Over 1,500. The question must be asked, as one headline puts it, God or the devil? In whom do Americans really believe in? The Pew Research poll, a new low of 74% of Americans surveyed, said that God is something they believe in, down from 90% just back in 2004, according to the Gallup poll. And it goes on with a major list of the statistical data that proves the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we have abandoned God, that we have waved the white flag of surrender, that we have today gone into a state of apostasy in American churches and American spirituality. I believe that we need to be gravely concerned in relationship to that. We're watching prominent pastors in America that's leaving the faith. That's apostasy, abandoning the faith. Andy Stanley is a good example of that. Andy Stanley has played pretend now for several years. Andy Stanley started out a few years ago saying that the Ten Commandments are not relevant to Christianity today. Andy Stanley then progressed along that line, said we need to jettison the Old Testament. Just do away with the Old Testament. It's not valid today. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Stanley has just made the step completely out of traditional Christianity. Andy Stanley's church is hosting an LGBTQ affirming conference, this article says, an upcoming conference hosted by Andy Stanley's Church for Ministry Leaders and Parents of the LGBTQ Children is called A Clear and Tragic Departure from Biblical Christianity by a prominent evangelical leader, who says the lineup of speakers reveal the event's theological position. And I won't go into great detail. I'm looking at a list of all of the speakers that will be speaking, et cetera, et cetera. All of them come out of a sodomite background, a sodomite LGBTQ agenda. Dr. Albert Moeller, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, says, advertising for the conference indicates clearly that this event is designed as a platform to normalize the LGBTQ agenda, end quote. Coming out of a church, we're waving the flag of surrender today. We're waving the flag of surrender today. Surrender to the enemy. It is called, biblically speaking, it's called apostasy. Most denominations have embraced the CRT, the LGBTQ agenda, the abortion issue, false teachers about the teachings about the deity of Christ, false teachings about the reality of hell, false teachings about the reality of sin. All of this is taking place. What does that mean? It simply means that we have abandoned the faith. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Have you seen a decline in your church attendance? Your church having to deal with the closure on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, a reducing of services? What's the problem? We have abandoned the faith. We are watching the great falling away that's spoken of in the Scripture. I'm looking at a headline. Franklin Graham issues a stark warning to the churches trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, the eternal peril of progressive Christianity, Graham calls it. In the article, Graham laid out in no uncertain terms how dangerous he believes the progressive Christian movement to be, saying that it is not the gospel at all, nothing but spiritual confusion and chaos. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul dealt with that in the Galatian church. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul, and I'll paraphrase, was surprised. He said, basically, I'm surprised that you have left the truth of the gospel for another that's a different, totally different gospel, which is not the gospel at all. I find it dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. So listen, when you hear those talking about the peril of what's happening in Washington, when you hear those talking about the dangers of Joe Biden and what he's doing to our morals and ethics and values, when you hear those standing on the platform as last evening with seven people spouting what they are going to do, no evidence given, no indication given how they were going to do it, what they were going to do. It is simply window dressing. It's icing on the cake. We need to go back to the fundamental basics of what causes the problems in America and where the underlying fundamental fomenting of decay is taking place, and that's the foundation. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm looking at a headline that says, it's time to resist the evil that is before us. The article starts, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. And I'm paraphrasing what he gave in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. This article reads further. In America today, we're just about where the Germans were in World War II. The churches were ignoring evil, hear me, ignoring evil and refusing to resist the evil before them. A Lutheran pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, said God's remnant took a stand against Nazism and proclaimed these words to the nation. Quote, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. The religious and citizens in Germany did not listen, and their nation was destroyed, and much pain and death came upon them. This article reads, now America is facing a greater threat of evil, and many pastors, the disobedient religious, and citizens are ignoring evil and not resisting the devil at all. The globalists and the Luciferians elites have cast their hellish spell upon the unregenerate souls of the progressive left in America, who are impervious to logic, truth, or even traditional discussion. These are known as the woke culture today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking to you about the subject, have we surrendered to the enemy? And I believe the answer to that is clearly, yes, we have. The churches have surrendered to the woke culture. The churches have surrendered to what the culture wants in order to bring the world inside the church. Rather than standing on the word, there's a mindset we've got to appease the world. And that's simply not what Christianity is about. I'm looking at an article that says, major power moving to eliminate any visible evidence of Christianity. And it goes on to talk about what's happening in China, where they move today to remove any vestige of spirituality and Christianity. And it is a warning, this article says, as to what we see taking place in America and where it's headed in America as a result of that. But ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to surprise us at all to understand that this is what is taking place. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the scripture says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart, apostatize, depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. You find also, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, similar words. Verse 1 and following in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, that we be not soon shaken in mind, or to be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That falling away means apostasy. It means to revolt against God. It means to refuse to believe, refuse to follow, refuse to follow spiritual teaching, biblical teaching. It is a refusal to do so, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe that's exactly what we're seeing now. So what does it mean? We need to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. The scripture says in the Jude text in the third verse, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort that you should earnestly contend, that means to struggle, to fight for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's not an easy thing, ladies and gentlemen, but we need to stand up for truth. We need to fight for truth. We need to stand for the truth of what the Word of God says in relationship to where we are today. The telephone number is 904-831-0916, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, 831-0917, the telephone number that you dial goes straight through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, most denominations today have simply embraced the world, embraced what the world says, embraced the morals and ethics and values of the world because they want to focus on numbers, nickels, and noses. Our focus needs to be on what the Word of God says, nothing more and nothing less. The Bible what's happening today, the Bible clearly calls it as apostasy. It's the falling away. And the Bible says the falling away must take place before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we're watching the escalation of the falling away in the preparation for the rapture of the church and then the 7 years of tribulation that will set in. The falling away is at an alarming pace today. Today, the so-called Christian appears to be in a position of caring more for the world and what the world says than caring what the Word says. Ladies and gentlemen, here's some of the things that I need to kind of tie up loose ends with. Perhaps you identify with some of this. What's your excuse for not worshiping today? Had a lady recently said, well, since COVID, I've just been too lazy. That was pretty honest. Or I'm just too busy. I'm just tired, and the only day I have to rest is on Sunday. It's my birthday, and I need to celebrate with my family. My head hurts, and I don't feel good. The pastor preaches too long, too loud. But yet the same person will sit in a Jaguars game 3, 4, 5 hours in the blazing sun or the rain or the cold and not have anything to say in relationship to the objection of it. I'm looking at headline. What does the word apostasy mean biblically? The biblical teaching about apostasy means falling away. The Apostle Paul describes the church of Thessalonica. This condition affected every area of life. The word is so strong and emphatic that it suggests the complete breakdown of morals and ethics and values, the falling away, the rejection of biblical truth. Ladies and gentlemen, what's the answer to that? We need to turn back to God. We need to go back to God. We need to seek God's face. We need to confess our sins and ask God to heal our land. Lest we do that, we have lost it in America. Because if the church, as the church implodes, we'll find more and more of the demonic delusion filling the vacuum, the void that's taking place today as we watch the Joe Biden administration. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.3.